Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual. Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone. This is Veronica Monet, and I have a pretty exciting guest tonight. His name is Michael Schussler, and he wrote a book about the Holy Grail. I think that's what you wrote a book about, right, Michael?
That's right. It's actually the Holy G-Rail.
Really?
Yeah.
So why do you make that distinction?
It's the G-spot relating anatomy into lovemaking.
Oh, my God. So you're actually doing, like, G-spot and religion? Is that what this is about? Because I noticed you're some kind of a Kabbalah student or expert.
I would say student. You're always a student.
Oh, okay. You're humble, then.
Yeah. Very humble.
I guess you do list yourself as this. But I think you've actually put a lot of the Kabbalah in your book. That's my understanding.
Yeah, you know, I try to pepper it. I try to affect people without them really knowing it, giving them little hints and little signs of ways to better their lives through sexuality and through the G-spot. And even if they're not prone to spirituality and they just want to get down to hardcore sex.
Yeah, well, part of your blurb says the Holy G-Rail ignites the sexual spark and turns it into a flame.
That
sounds
right.
Pretty exciting.
That's right.
How do you do that in just 71 pages?
Make it simple.
Yes, keep it simple, stupid, huh?
Well, I believe in that. We gentlemen have a short attention span, so to speak, and a lot of the manuals out there on G-spot stimulation, and even the videos, you know, point inside and say there's an X here and go for it. And I found that very difficult for me to comprehend. And when I came across it the way I did, I decided to share it with everyone out there. Just a different way to experience it and a simple way.
Well, you know, now I agree with you. A lot of what's out there makes it very confusing. Fortunately for me, because I teach workshops on how to find the G-spot, and it keeps me, in a job with a job.
Well, so. And it's much fun, I bet. You're always smiling then.
but seriously, now, Michael, you're an author, you're a photographer, you're a painter, mm-hmm. and as we already mentioned, a student of the Kabbalah. But what? How does this make you an expert on the G-spot?
My special lover. She makes me the expert.
She makes you the expert.
Yeah, and actually...
I don't want you to, you know, give the whole book away tonight, but whatever you can, can you tell me a little bit about how you said you couldn't find the G-spot and you kind of stumbled...
Yeah, we stumbled across it. I mean, I think it's really important for any of the couples out there or any of the people just having fun out there to experiment and do it in a communicative way, you know, communicating with each other. My special lover and I call her that to keep her anonymity, not to be cliche about it, because there's a lot of freaks out there. And
since
we're a couple and we still are a couple, it's important to keep her private. But nevertheless, we try to expand our sexual horizons, keep it fresh, keep it exciting, and keep our intimacy really on high levels, because it'll take us out of the world we live in daily, so to speak. It's a good escape, a pure escape.
Well, by the way, for our listeners, I'm going to be asking Michael to explain a little bit about the G-spot, because, you know, I just got an email today. Somebody asked me if it really existed. So, but before I say that, I just want to, like, shoot people over to your website. And the website is theholyg-rail.com. Rail is RAIL.com. But your bio if you click on the bio, it actually takes you over to holygware.com.
Yeah. You know, what happened there is I was publishing the book, and my web guy wanted to get the site up before I got the domain switched over from someone else. So I was going to create a sexy clothing line, and we just haven't gotten that far yet.
Which, by the way, this picture of you is a fabulous advertisement for that. Listeners, you really should go over to holygware.com and look for Meet Michael Schussler. I'm telling you, this guy's very hot.
Oh, well, thank you.
I hope you don't
so
mind
much.
Me saying that.
No, thank you.
And a great dresser. Look at this suit. My God.
I don't do that all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, we assume you got naked for this expert opinion that you're preferring to us. So, okay, tell us a little bit about your special friend. Do you think she's got a G-spot and very few other women have it, or do you think all women have a G-spot?
The jury's out on that one, and you teaching classes on it and doing a lot of research on it yourself. I believe if gentlemen take the time to experiment with their lovers, and in the book I explain a way to find a texture and a feel on their own member, on their own body part, to their own penis, whatever you want to call it.
So you're actually saying that you can, because most people teach how to find the G-spot with the finger.
Exactly. What I do is show, and this is how I found it. We were trying to find it, and we were messing around, watched some videos, some informative videos, but it was like pointing up inside, and we weren't really focusing on the G-spot. We were trying to get her to female ejaculate, to squirt.
Right.
And we wanted to try that. And the videos were talking about G-spot stimulation, so we were messing around with that, and indirectly, I made her release through the G-spot, and she released unlike she'd ever had before. And to give you a quick, very brief history, and your listeners a brief history, due to prior conditioning of a long marriage she was in, she got herself off for many, many years, pleased her man, rolled over, and then she'd have to please herself. He didn't take the time with her.
What a slob.
And so she really knew how to get herself off with her fingers.
Right.
Clitorally.
Right.
When I came into the picture, I had a real hard, I couldn't even touch her legs when she was doing that to herself because she was so conditioned and it would break her concentration. And she could do it to herself within 5 minutes. I mean, real quick. And that's exterior clitorally. And for the gentlemen out there, there's a big difference between the two, the G-spot and clitorally. And you could explain that a little bit if you'd like to.
Well, as a sexologist, basically I have this to say. Most of us as females have got similar body parts. Now, that's not across the board. Mm-hmm. For instance, there is erectile tissue lying behind the walls of the vaginal tract. And in some women, there's more erectile tissue than in others.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why sometimes women have a little different reporting about how much they enjoy penetration. Similarly, I mean, everybody has the clitoris unless it's been removed by an accident or female genital mutilation or something like that.
Yeah.
But we're all born with clitorises. And yet, some women want to have the clitoris touch. Some, you don't ever want to touch it directly. You would have to touch around it. Some women even prefer a side, like the left or the right.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to G-spots, the bodies that I have worked with have all had a G-spot, but not everybody has had the same feeling about it. Some people have really enjoyed having that part of the body touched, and other people find it almost painful.
Yeah.
So I really try to honor the fact that although we may have similar plumbing, each of us has our own sensations and perceptions. It's very much like BDSM, you know, bondage, discipline, sadomasochism. Some people, when you administer pain, it is filtered through their sense, experiences as pleasure, and other people just feel it as pain.
Yeah, and that's where communication comes in.
Absolutely, and most importantly, getting to know yourself so you have something to communicate.
Exactly. If you don't know how to please yourself, how can you expect someone else to please you?
No, and so unfortunately, I think more women than men make this mistake of thinking he will know, and they're waiting for some man to come along and find all the right buttons before they've ever even found out where they were themselves.
Exactly. So, you know, to answer your question, I kind of firmly believe that all women have the G-spot, although they may not have found it and it may not be pleasurable to some of them.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I have found, though, with my special lover and the people we've enjoyed practicing on and the people I've shared my techniques with, not all women female ejaculate. To get off with G-spot, you don't necessarily ejaculate. It's not synonymous. I believe you have to have a G-spot orgasm to female ejaculate, but I don't believe that by having a G-spot orgasm, you necessarily female ejaculate. In fact, most of our test subjects, shall I say that, the control group, did
how
not have fluid.
How did you experiment on?
Pardon me?
You had a control group?
Well, so to speak.
Well, how many people are we talking about here?
Quite a few, and I've shared it with, okay, some of this was sharing it with other couples, and then some of this was bringing other females into our fold, so to speak.
Okay.
And no intercourse, just foreplay and oral, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And testing it without letting them know they were test subjects. So as far as the G-spot goes, just having fun, enjoying.
Less than 30?
Yes, less than 30.
Okay.
Around that number.
Yeah.
So that's not a huge control group, but
no,
it works.
It's anecdotal. I mean, anything under 30 is considered anecdotal, but anyway.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm sorry. I'm not going to get a pissing match.
That's okay. That's your training coming through. But you know, I really feel that the system and giving a man a focal point and giving him something to focus on, rather than the female form and the inside of a female, and the vagina can be a very large place.
Oh my God, there's a lot of women that are just
Not cavernous, but let me make it very clear, not cavernous, but you can stroke a quarter inch off the G spot, and it'll feel great and it'll feel wonderful, but it'll never come home. And then you get tired, and she gets tired, and you get distracted, and it never happens. So if you have more of a focal point of what to feel for, and you were saying there's erectile tissue.
There's erectile
inside.
Tissue, yeah.
The system I found, you know, I was messing around in the shower the day after we stumbled across it. I got her to orgasm that way twice in a row. Within 15 minutes, and then she was wiped out, and I've never seen her wiped out. I mean, totally wiped out. So it was so far removed from a clitoral orgasm, it was unreal, and she'd never experienced anything like that in her whole life. And for us to stumble across it after it took me a number of years of studying and of gently getting into being able to get her off clitorally with my finger, with my tongue, with toys, whatever,
right.
Because of her prior conditioning. It wasn't that she couldn't get off. It was she wasn't allowing anyone else to get her off.
Well, it sounds like you're bringing two things that are, I would say, new to this. And one is from the male perspective, because so much of what's out there has really just been about helping women find their G-spots.
Well, because, I mean, who better to do it than women themselves?
Right. But if there's men out there who want to find the G-spot, it sounds like your book is really coming from the male perspective of how to find the G-spot on a woman if you happen to be a man. Which
correctly.
Is, yeah, then that really sounds like something that's missing from the literature, in my opinion.
And it's simple and easy for guys to wrap their heads around. Because it's about applying self-love, finding a texture and a pressure point on your own member, and feeling it, and then being able to, and even approximate distance, as funny as that sounds, it's actually the same approximate distance. And I call that spot on a guy a magic spot. And I've done a lot of interviews, and I've been nailed by medical people saying, well, the male G-spot is, you know, on the other side of the spectrum. It's like, well, it's not the G-spot. I named the magic spot only because it's a focal point again. It's a more male perspective.
And this is a place on the penis?
Correct. Yeah. Underneath the head of the penis on the lower side.
The frenulum.
Pardon me?
The frenulum. The lower side of the glands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That fleshy piece of skin.
Yeah,
it's
that's
very tender for gentlemen, and it's, I mean,
right,
the ladies, I mean, to, you know, to get us off, you know, it's a
sweet
spot.
It's a sweet spot on a penis.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
and
that's called a frenulum.
Found okay.
Yeah. So interesting. So you've actually found a way to interface the frenulum with the G spot. And that was the second thing I was going to say. Not only are you talking about the G spot from the male perspective, but you are talking about it from the perspective of using your penis as opposed to using a hand or a G-spot stimulator.
No. I'm talking about actually using that as a focal point for a guy to kind of get the texture and feel, to apply pressure to himself. Play,
uh-huh.
You know, masturbate, so to speak,
right,
and shift his focus into the feelings of his fingers. That way, when he takes his fingers into the female, he's got a focal point, something to kind of feel for texture-wise.
Oh.
And then, you know, again, you know, I've found that if you push too hard on the G-spot, you lose it a little bit. Because that fleshy skin, and every woman's shaped differently, and every woman, you know, is put together differently, even though it's really the same parts. It gives a focal point on a guy, and it helps more than one way. Number one, it teaches a guy to stop thinking about the sensation in his penis, so to speak, and to think about what he's feeling through his fingers. So when he reaches up into a woman, he's got a focal point. It also creates more stamina in him because he's shifting his focus onto his lady, which is really important, I would assume, you know, to a lot of ladies out there. And it's through the book, as simply as I can put it, I gently give hints on stamina. I gently show a man how to focus on finding it rather than having this glyph. And like I said earlier, it can be a large place, but it's not cavernous. If you miss the G-spot and you don't really know what you're focusing on, you can rub and you can actually apply too much pressure and you know, create soreness. And whether you get your lady off or not through the G-spot, she may not feel the best the next day or two because you've applied too much pressure. That's happened to me numerous times.
Yeah, is it possible to reach the G-spot with a penis?
Yes, it is. Actually,
do you talk about that in your book too?
That I do not, because when I wrote it, it was before, it was just the revelation, the epiphany, so to speak, of finding it with my hands. And at that time, that was my main focus. Now that I know where it is, exactly on my lady,
uh-huh,
I can position my penis, and I can get her off just with my penis now. G-spot wise, you have to flip over. For us, we flip
doggy
over.
Doggy style.
No, actually, the best way for us is to for her to be on her back and me to be on my back. And we heads, toe, you know, heels up at each other's heads. So, because I'm not one of those gifted guys with a hooked penis. I'm just straight forward. So when I flip back on my back, the pressure of my penis goes up. If she arches and keeps her vagina down, you know, now and then she'll apply stimulation on a clitoris at the same time, we can get it every time.
Wow.
And I know exactly where it is and the distance by using my hands. And again, this helps guys out there, because once they do it a few times with their hands, they can get comfortable with their lady's body and know exactly where it is. Then they can position their bodies to have their penises hit it and get them off that way. And that's really a wonderful experience, to be actually able to get your lover off with just your penis. You know,
I would think that the contractions are really powerful. And
they are, and we've actually had a few ejaculations, and that's built up. At first, she didn't whatsoever.
Right.
You know, it was just powerful contractions, and she's wiped out. And you know, now she prefers me at times to use my hands, because it's a little quicker and a little firmer touch. Because you can only, you know, flip your penis the wrong direction for so long.
Yeah, it sounds like a little bit of a gymnastic sex there, like maybe not everybody would be able to do that.
Well, you know, and there's a lot of gentlemen out there that have the hook, and, you know, or a bat, you know, and if they can do that, doggy style's great, you know, just pushing up the opposite way. You know,
right.
Forcing your body up closer, you know, you're forcing it up so your penis goes down. And then, you know, but then there's a lot of gentlemen that, it may be too stimulating and get them off a little bit quicker than she gets off, and thus.
Timing's everything. I'm going to check in with our listeners here for a minute. Michael Schussler, the author of The Holy G-RAL, which actually stands for, G is for G-spot, R is for relating, A is for anatomy, I is into, and L is lovemaking. G-spot, relating, anatomy, into, lovemaking. He's with us tonight. If you have any questions about how to find a G-spot on a woman, how to help a woman female ejaculate, he's just written a book on it, and it's written it from a male perspective, which is makes it easier for men to understand. So many of the books that are out there about female ejaculation and the G-spot are written from the woman's perspective. So I think this is a really worthwhile contribution to the literature. Anyway.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I'm long winded,
Michael. Let me give the call-in numbers here. So if you're in the United States, call us toll-free at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And Canada's toll-free number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Or just click on your BBS Fast Chat and send me an email, and I'll read it on the air. Anyway, Michael, where does spirituality come into all of this?
Where does spirituality come in at all of this? Okay. Being a Kabbalist, throughout the book, I give little hints on self-love, communication, patience, and all, and how to get there. I use this book. I've got actually 5 follow-ups, which will expand the chapters on communication, on patience, on self-love. I wanted to hook everyone. And realities, sex hooks.
Oh, absolutely.
Sex sells. And we gentlemen don't have a huge attention span. Put in a video, we prefer to learn from that, or try to. So I I pepper the book with little Kabbalistic hints that actually will help. If you're happy in your bedrooms and you learn to communicate and have patience with one another, if you learn to love yourself so it enables you to receive love from others, that's where the spirituality comes in. Because those are basic keys, I believe, in spiritual, in a good, wholesome spiritual life, is knowing how to love yourself. And when I say yourself, you know, that one self that resides within us all. Being able to communicate with one another. And when you do it in the bedroom, it shines forth through the rest of your life. If you have good relations at home, in your home life, in your personal life, then the relations around you, in your business, in your everyday life expands so much. So, you know, spiritually, you become uplifted and you know, you have hope, so to speak.
Do you think that's maybe one of the reasons culturally we have that little joke about whether it's a man or a woman being so grumpy or angry or volatile, and we go, they need to get laid?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know when a coworker has come in. You know when you've come in, you glow.
Yeah.
Everyone else around you realize it, and sometimes it's kind of a drag when you kind of have to hide it because you're afraid of people who share with you they're not having that great of a life at home and stuff, becoming a little bit disgruntled or jealous or you know, you know, it's kind of sad in that way. My special lover has that with some of the people she works with. At times, she feels that she can't be so glowing and beaming because she's afraid it'll make them feel bad about themselves, which really they should. You know, everyone and all of us should be, you know, more receptive to the fact that, you know, sexuality and making love to your partner and even just forget about the sex and just, you know, a good back rub and a good, you know, evening of sitting together and communicating can be very, very stimulating.
Absolutely. So are there any mentions in the Kabbalah about sex?
You know, this is funny. Because I wrote the book and put it out because it was an epiphany, and I really felt it was given to me, the information, and I just had an overwhelming need to put it out. And since I put it out, our spiritual group is reformulating a stronghold here in Denver, and it's all over the world, but we do. Healing work.
Okay.
And it's funny because I feel so funny I don't share what the book's about with anyone there. And it's because I feel funny myself about it. It's not that the Kabbalah doesn't condone it or not, because in all reality it everything's a lesson and everything's good.
Right.
As long as it's done from a place of heart. But I still do have, you know, working with older people. I wouldn't say older people, but a lot of the people in my group don't focus on that area of life. Makes me sometimes feel a little bit funny, and I shouldn't. And I just don't share with them, so to speak, because the book is pretty personal in the history chapter.
Right.
And I don't necessarily want the people I practice my spirituality with to know what I do in my bedroom. Which is, you know, I don't care if they know I'm a very sexual person, because that shows when,
right,
when me and my special lover are together, everyone can feel the energy.
I know what you're talking about. It's easier to disclose the sort of things with people that you aren't going to be running into and seeing.
Well, actually, you know, I have no problem disclosing it with the people I run into daily because I don't care. Because it's a good thing. And it's a very positive thing. I'm just working into, I just don't disclose it per se, in those realms. Although I do hint at it in a very, you know, I bring things back around because sexuality is a good thing. Open sexuality, now there are different levels of it. I mean, I don't necessarily need people to know that I'm trying to get my lover to squirt. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it can make people feel uncomfortable, and I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. That's what I guess I'm getting at.
Okay.
In the right situation, in the right conversation, everything's cool. Everything's fine, and I have no problem. I prefer to. I actually do a column for an online newspaper. It's called MileHive.com, and it's a life section, and I expand more on the sensuality, not so much the sexuality,
uh-huh.
Bringing sexuality and sensuality and getting people, you know, being on more of the spiritual side rather than the hardcore sexual side. I guess that's the difference. I don't like to be so hardcore with my spiritual group. I have no problem being hardcore with my friends and family. In fact, I'm too much so.
Oh. Are you the embarrassing baby boomer? Yeah. I don't know.
I am. You know, I mean, I've my mother's stopped me a couple of times. You know, and I love her to death, and she supports everything I do, and that's why I love her so much, you know, because she
right.
knows it's right.
Right.
You know, but she doesn't want to hear about it.
Oh, I know. I have the same issue, I think. I just talk about everything openly and honestly. And sometimes people just look at me like, my God, I can't believe you just went there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not that the Kabbalah doesn't condone it or anything like that. Unlike Eastern philosophies, that I've been hammered from some Eastern brethren saying to release is to lose energy
So do you practice Tantra then?
I do. We've made, I wouldn't say regularly by any means.
Uh-huh.
I like to release. But I don't release for a long period of time, sometimes hours. So you could call that the tantric, but tantric practices, but at the very end, I like to release.
You know, and it's so interesting that a lot of people think Tantra isn't about not releasing, but the very first tantric workshop I ever took was taught up in the Marin County, which is like the tantric capital of the world,
uh-huh.
by a teacher by the name of Jawala, who a lot of people have heard about, and she's been in videos and whatnot. But it was a fire breath orgasm class.
Oh, just orgasming through breath.
Yes.
And I've done that.
And that was considered Tantra.
Oh, okay.
And
so I guess I practice it more than I think.
Well,
I just had that.
Really, you know what? I'm working on a definition with a friend of mine who's studying with some tantric masters, and it's like she wants me to find ways to explain what Tantra is, because the more I learn about it, the more I think it just almost becomes almost beyond, you can't define it.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on who you're talking to and what, you know, group they ascribe to, they can have some pretty rigid ideas about what is and isn't Tantra.
Well, and, you know, that's just like the Kabbalah. There's, or Christianity or Catholicism. I mean, if you think about, well, okay, forget about Christianity and Catholicism. The Kabbalah is spirituality, but there are Hasidic Kabbalists, there's Hermetic Kabbalists, there's
and they all disagree with each other.
There's different ideas. I'm a Hermetic Kabbalist, which is I study alchemy, astrology, healing with sound and color. I study all the tools that were given us, and I'm on that side to where there are other Kabbalists that are more on the other side. You know, I like to think of it as in like in a Catholic mass, Mm-hmm. You're on the side receiving the bread or you're giving the bread.
Okay.
It's all Catholicism.
Right.
But when you're giving the bread, you know what, why you're giving the bread and everything behind it. And the things that a lot of the people who are receiving the bread don't understand or don't care to understand.
Okay.
And do you understand that?
I do.
And so I'm on the side giving the bread rather than receiving it.
Okay.
I don't take things on blind faith. I want answers, and I want to be able to get them myself and validate the answers, and that way it works for me.
Okay.
And you know, and that way I can prove it rather than having blind faith, so to speak. You know, so I mean, the tantric side, I can totally understand. There's so many different levels. I've been nailed on the whole release thing. And I believe it's okay. I don't think it drains your energy. The longer you hold out, and I've released through breathing without touching my member.
Well, this is such a mind blower for a lot of people. I was just talking to somebody today who had retained my services. I do telephone consulting and help people with, you know, relationship and sexuality issues over the telephone.
Oh, that's great.
And it's like telling somebody, you can have an orgasm without even having genitals. You know, and how do I know this? Because I've worked with people who, you know, by virtue of accidents or illness, don't have access to the genitalia, but are still able to achieve orgasms, and, you know, by conscious breathing.
Yep.
And circulating that kundalini energy. And that's a really difficult one for people because everybody thinks sex is...
Oh,
genital.
And it takes a lot of energy to do that, to
yes.
pull it off. I mean, I haven't done that very often.
Well,
and
I haven't either.
Years ago.
In fact, when I did my first fire breath orgasm, I found it so frightening, I didn't even want to get near tantra for about 10 years. It scared the heck out of me.
Oh, wow.
Well, it was like having sex with God or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's funny, isn't it? You can implant your head with a lot of different things when that happens.
Yes.
You know, and I try. Why ask why?
Right.
You know, I mean, in a sense, you know, test things, prove them to yourself, feel good about it, come from a place of heart, and everything will work out.
You know what I think when you're talking about conscious breathing and bringing spirituality into sex, that the biggest obstacle we all have is to get past the idea that somehow or another we don't deserve pleasure.
Correct.
Because people literally, and I do this myself, come up against barriers of too much, it's like too much pleasure. This feels too good.
It feels dirty.
and you want to back away from it. Well, it may feel dirty for some people. I know for me, it just feels scary.
Well, you know, I think it's that race mind, that race consciousness. I mean, you know, the Kabbalah teaches that we're all part of the subconscious flow, that we're all, everything that is, was, and will be is here now. And I truly believe that when you tap into subconsciousness, you can tap into so many different levels of humanity and know things that you would never really know, different areas of the tree of life. And when you have orgasms like that without touching yourself, it is spooky because you can pick up on thoughts that aren't your own.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part. You know, you can get these thoughts in your brain that are not yourself. And if you attribute it to yourself, then you can, there, a lot of fear is derived because it's like, am I really thinking that? Did that come from me?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize I had the possibility to think a thought like that.
Now you're talking about, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Jenny Wade, wrote a book called Transcendent Sex.
No, I'm not.
She surveyed people who had never studied Tantra, and, you know, they didn't have the background that you and I have. They mm-hmm. just were having sex, and one day all of a sudden experienced a past life or an alien or, you know, they thought they were on another planet or, you know, just, or they turned into an animal.
Yeah.
or their lover all of a sudden.
Well, and I truly believe that's just tapping into that subconscious flow. I mean, it's symbolized by water, you know, and you know, if people can just realize and get out of their heads, and when thoughts that scare you come through, rather than giving them a lot of, you know, think about it, you know, rationalize, try to rationalize it, but, you know, if there's no rationale to the thought that is in your mind, let it go and realize that you may have picked up on someone else's thoughts or a different thought stream, and it's okay to let it go. There's no reason to torture yourself over why.
Hmm.
You know, because there's a lot of freaky stuff out there. There's a lot of, I mean, when you think about filmmakers and you know, these movies that they come out with on the sex realms, excuse me, on the horror realms,
yes.
There's some pretty frightening stuff.
There
but
is.
The reality of it is they're tapping into something that has been thought about, because everything is now.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, so if you have a weird thought or a weird sexual thing that doesn't seem right to you,
mm-hmm.
Let it go. I mean, give it some thought, but let it go and feel okay to let it go. And I think it's okay to feel good. I mean, the taboos about sexuality really only came when religion was created.
It's true. It's absolutely true. That religion has an obsession with sex. I mean, you know, if religion spent half the time that it spends trying to control other people's sexuality, feeding the poor, you know, taking care of orphaned children, or trying to find a way to create peace here on planet Earth, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, I mean, if everyone was having sex, there wouldn't be no time for war.
Yeah, but that too, the way of the bonobo. But religion has this, like, obsession with trying to control, you know, we don't want any gay marriage. Yeah, I know. God forbid the gay people should love each other.
Well, exactly. And or God forbid you orgasm 5 times a day or 20 times a week. And heaven forbid you enjoy your wife or your husband's body. And heaven forbid you enjoy someone of the same sex through curiosity. You know, and it's really funny because when I watch pornographic material, the guys don't turn me on. But when I see their bodies, I relate it to my own body.
Right.
That's what, you know, it's funny because when my special lover sees it, she doesn't necessarily look at the men. She doesn't care. You know, she's more drawn to the women because I'm sure it relates her of her own body, and she really loves herself. And not in an egotistical way.
No, in a healthy way. We should all love ourselves.
We should. We should all love ourselves. We should take time to experience ourselves in the shower, in the bathtub. Make love to yourself, and you don't have to orgasm. I mean, it can lead to that, but, you know, just touching yourself and pouring beauty into the areas of yourself that you don't feel is up to snuff.
Hmm. Oh, that's a beautiful sentiment, to love the parts of yourself that you find less lovable.
That's right. It's so important. You know, there are so many women that don't even look at themselves down there. They don't even know what it looks like. Get a mirror. Look at yourself.
Yes, to look. Yes.
You know, play with yourself. Touch it. It's okay. It's not going to bite.
For our listeners, I want to just remind you, we've got a few more minutes left of the show. It's not too late for you to call in if you've got a question for Michael Schuschler. He's the author of The Holy Grail, which is a play on the word Holy Grail. We're talking about sexuality and spirituality. And if you're in the United States, just dial 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canada can call 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. 888-346-9756, or just hit the BBS Fast Chat, and I will read whatever you write on the air. Michael, you say something here about the G-spot being the cornerstone of sex. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, I just played off of that when someone released it, released the story on the book. I think it's more of a, I believe if you take the time to experiment and find the deeper areas of sexuality within yourself that there are, rather than the face value one, so to speak, it can really enhance your sexual life. So being a cornerstone, so to speak, if you take the time, a lot of people don't even know it exists. A lot of people don't even know the difference. A lot of gentlemen I talk to, I'll talk to them for as long as we've been on this show about the things we've just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will look at me and say, well, it's right down there, the clitoris, isn't it? And it's like, if you not listen to the words that came out of my mouth?
Wow.
You know, guys just don't get it. It's a different orgasm. And just to sway for a second, just for your listeners, to find the book, it's at theholyg-rail.com. Just a quick sway there.
Oh, absolutely. What if they want to contact you, Michael?
They can contact me through the website, and also it's available through Amazon.com. That's simple. And I have a MySpace. It's myspace.com/theholyg. Actually, someone took the Holy G Rail.
Well, that's okay. The
Did
Holy
that?
G, it kind of sounds like a rapper tune.
Yeah, it's the Holy G, and I do blogs on there. And like I say, they're obviously it's on MySpace, so it's not hardcore sex
right.
by any means. But it's about what we're talking about, all of what we're talking about, just ways, just reminders, things that we all know, things that are in all the books, but a condensed, simple version of reminding us how to love each other and ourselves.
And that is a message that is still not that common, which is, you know, how we can relate to our sexuality in a way that brings us closer to our spirituality.
Exactly. It's all synonymous. I mean, we all, if you're happy and you're satisfied, then your wants can, expel and, you know, in different directions. And, I mean, it's so good to have a partner. And even if you just take the time with your partner of the evening, you know, I find it so amazing that so many people can go out, meet someone at a bar, and have fantastic sex because they know they don't ever have to talk to that person again. And, you know, and afterwards, they can even let them go and then, you know, have the want and think, God, I was stupid not to, you know, further that anymore. And it's just because there's no inhibitions in a situation like that, or a lot less inhibitions. If we could treat our personal lives with those that are around us every day, and after years of marriage and children, if we could drop those guards, it would make our lives so much better and reignite. I mean, children, business, life take up a lot of time. And, you know, the one thing that we suffer in is in the bedrooms. There's a lot of people that suffer. They have. I've got a lot of friends who get a lot more out of the book than the sexual part of it. And they look more on the spiritual side and the reconnecting and communication side, and refiring some old kindling because they're so used to getting up at 6 with the children, going to work, coming home, going to bed by 8. Thursday every other week is sex night, this kind of thing. You know?
Yes.
If you can just let that go and take the time and not get so regimented, it can become special again, and it can refire old, worn out, not worn out, and I hate to say it in that way, but tired relationships.
So it actually sounds like you're kind of inviting people to embark on an adventure of, you know, like a discovery, exploring your lover as if you've never seen them before, and you're just getting to know this new territory.
Exactly. It's the quest for the Holy Grail. I mean, the book is the Holy G dash rail, but if you take the dash out, it's the Holy Grail. And
right.
I believe firmly that each and every one of you ladies on this planet are the Holy Grail. And, you know, whatever religions you look into and all the Da Vinci stuff. I wrote this book before I had even known about the Da Vinci Code.
Right.
You know, it came to me from above, so to speak. And I firmly believe that. And when you think about it, you know, it makes so much sense that, you know, the chalice, you ladies can create eternal youth and happiness. You can create life. I mean, you do create life. Without your half of the perspective, there would be no life.
Right.
I mean, you have the chalice of the womb within you, and it's a very, you know, sacred and sanctimonious thing. I guess that's not a good word, but it's a very sacred thing.
A sacred thing. In fact, you say women are to be cherished, for only then can they truly feel the release.
And I believe that with all my heart, because if we take the time, whether it's just rubbing your back, giving your shoulder rub, and putting our fingernails down the back, if we just do that, the response we get from you is so much more intense rather than, you know, hopping on, okay, this is Thursday night, I got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's so important to cherish you because you make our lives so much better. And you know, one step further in partnerships, whether it's male-male, female-female, or male-female, your partner should be cherished regardless. And because if you do that, it comes back to you, and it just creates such a loving environment that, you know, all the stresses of the day do, you know, especially like these days, you know, tend to fade away just a little bit more.
They do. Michael, I love your message. It seems that you're inviting people to go on their own quest for the Holy Grail, to find their spirituality in the arms of their special lover.
Yes, that is.
That's very awesome. One more time at that website so they can contact you and get a copy of your book.
Yeah, that's the Holy G-Rail.com or Amazon.com. If you go to Amazon, all you have to do is type in G-S-P-O-T, and the book comes up number one. You don't even
have to. Oh, you're number one for G-Spot. Congratulations.
Yeah, you don't even have to type in books. If you just put in G-S-P-O-T, my book comes up.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being my guest tonight, and thank you for making this important contribution to the culture of sex and spirit.
Well, thank you so very, very much for having me, and I've had a really wonderful time. It's been really, really nice.
Oh, awesome. We'll have you back again.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Take care.
Veronica Monet offers help, healing, and hope in the form of private telephone sessions. Email veronica@sexwithoutshame.com to schedule an appointment, or visit www.sexwithoutshame.com to find out what Veronica can do for you.